as I can go. Testing 1, 2. Can y'all hear that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Don't want to be loud, just want you to be able to hear the words. Anyhow, we go into the nursing homes and we play old gospel music for them, and every once in a while they go, "Man, that's cool." And I was like, "Well, thank you, but did you know if today was the last day and you passed away, do you know for sure you'd be in heaven when you die?" Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. If you don't know the answer to that, talk to Pastor or myself. Or don't leave here and not know. Don't leave here and not know. Lady this morning, I said, "Yeah," I said, "if you're looking to go to church anywhere," and she definitely was not. I told her where we would be. Maybe that's why she didn't want to come. I don't know. But I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to preach. I'm going to sing. And we're going to do some different stuff. We have a potluck afterwards." Man, I tried everything. She said, "I don't go to church." I laughed at, I kind of chuckled nervous, you know. And I said, "Well, you can't say I didn't try." And I walked away. So, the preachers are weary, the singers are tired, the church, as you know it, is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing their load, but we must keep going for just one more soul. 'Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every problem and worth every trial. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. So preacher, keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep telling that Jesus is King. The angels are gathering, surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. So if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. I don't know about you, but if that's the reason the church is supposed to be here, amen. Did I say something wrong there? I don't think so. I checked in the Bible, and we're supposed to be soul winners. You know, go out and compel them to come in that the house may be full, right? I mean, and I believe that the church is, if you traveled with me, you'd agree with me that there's a lot of churches that they're just existing. They're hanging on. They're barely making their monthly payment. They're not sure what's going on. And if the churches were on fire like I believe God would have them be, and we were running on all 8 cylinders, as some of the mechanics would say, then I don't believe there would be much of a need for a ministry of helps. Because then the men would help their pastor. The pastor would be what he's doing, you know. And you wouldn't need me to come in and encourage you, because you guys would be, you know, like the old motor, you know, y'all ticking in rhythm and everything would be running good. But, you know, wake up. Nope, that didn't happen. Anyway. But I enjoy what I do. But it's not just what we do. You know, really, God can use anybody. I know, He picked me. He can use anybody. It's like I used to say when I graduated college, if I can do it, any dummy can, you know. But this song was, and you know, there's a lot of people that died so you'd have that Bible in your hand. A lot of people that given their lives so that you can have a church service. And if you can be here, you ought to be. Amen. And say, well, it's easy for you. You travel the country. You're in church every Sunday. No, it's not easy. I got the same flesh you do. I wished it had got saved when I did, but it didn't. There are those down through the years who've laid their life down on the line for many different reasons at many different times. Jesus laid his life down, died to set us free. Now we must take the gospel through the land and o'er the sea. We are called to be ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ. For the gospel's sake, we must lay down our lives. For how are they to believe on him if they have never heard? You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So pick up the sword and shield, and put the armor on. We must take the gospel message, for the battle's on. And man is captured by the devil, and they don't even know. Jesus won that victory 2,000 years ago. And we are called to be ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ. For the gospel's sake, we must lay down our lives. For how are they to believe on him if they have never heard? And you know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We are called to be ambassadors. Let's all spread the word. Try to keep my stuff out of everybody's way, including me. Preacher, I don't know. People ask me if I like to sing or if I like to preach. And I say, yes. You want to know what's more important? Preaching. Oh, but you're a musician. I don't care. Since when's that changed the Bible? Shouldn't. Say, well, you didn't play your guitar and you didn't play your banjo. Well, you know, there's always tonight. And, oh, you didn't have anything real important going on tonight, I hope. Well, you know what I found out? By the way, both the pastor and Brother AJ, the other pastor, from over there, we're closer to where the devil lives than we do. No, I'm just kidding. I do not like that spot over there. But anyhow, you're both younger than me. I was looking around, and I'm like, man. But you know, that's an encouragement. They're not that much younger, so don't get too excited. You're right behind me, you know. But the truth is, I preach with a lot of people that are older than me. And sometimes you get to looking around. If you're not careful, you might be like Elisha or Elijah and be like, oh, I'm the last one. No, it's not true. Definitely not true. So, that's just one of the things that was encouraging in the men's advance, was that there are other preachers. Amen? Amen. I mean, hallelujah and shame on the devil. I don't like him. But I've discovered one of the things that I believe we need to get back to, and that's just the basics of the Word of God. Amen. You know, you can put a $3 word, a $5 word, a $2 word. They're all too expensive for me. But we just need to get back to what the Bible says in the way that it says it, preach what it means, live what it means, and just let all the chips fall where they may. What are you saying? I'm saying you get in the book, you find out exactly what it says in the context and, you know, pretext and post-text and all that college stuff that they taught you, which wouldn't hurt you. And if you haven't been to college, just make sure that what you're reading, you've read everything there is to read about it in the Bible. You know? And then say, Lord, help me apply that to my life. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about real Christianity. We're talking about getting back to the basics, to know that you know Jesus as your Savior. That's basics. Because if you don't have that, you don't have a fort to fight with. You don't have a reason to hold a fort. I'm going to pray before we get started, because if God's not helping me, I don't want to even do this. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, there's so many times that you've given me opportunity, and I'm so thankful.
Yes.
Lord, I don't need your help any less than I ever have. Lord, this isn't a sermon that I can say, well, you know, I'm familiar with it, and Lord, I need your help. I need it just as much as I did the last time I preached. And Lord, I just give you full control. Help me to preach in a manner, Lord, that the folks know that we care about them, that we love them, that you love them. But at the same time, in a manner, Lord, that would give them everything they need this morning. And I would say everything that I need to. And Lord, just not to be rude or brash or yell too much. Lord, I just want you to preach through me because I just don't want to preach without you. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I hope you do, you can go to the book of John and chapter 1. I can't remember the last time, preacher, that I get to preach out of the book of John in chapter 1. But I got to thinking 2 or 3 weeks before I even showed up here, what am I going to preach? Well, there's 66 books. You know, somebody said, well, you got contents. Not in my Bible. It's super giant print. All we've got is the Word of God, and that's a good thing to have, right? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you know what? When we get back to the basics, we just need to say, God said He was here, that's it. Well, you know, how did God get here? Well, He was already here. John didn't say, well, you know, not sure how He got here. John didn't even put a doubt. There's no doubt there. He just said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
Well, say, that's simplistic. No, whiz. I beg to differ. Because you have, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, but then the Word was God. This is just the beginning before the world began, right? I mean, if God created everything, and we know that He did, because Genesis 1:1 said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? And we know that the Trinity is there. Don't ask me to explain it. I'm not even going to try. Take the faith God gives you, tell God He's right, and move on.
Amen.
I'm not even parking there. It wouldn't matter. I noticed that Brother AJ had a doctorate of divinity or something. I don't know. You know, I got a PhD. You didn't even know that, did you? I got a post hole digging degree. Don't worry about it. I've dug a few post holes. You thought I was serious, didn't you? You knew better. You spend a week with me, my English isn't even good grammar. But in the beginning was the Word. I looked up that word. You know what that word is? It's the same word for the word Bible. Right? I mean, every time you pull up your Bible software, what's that Greek word pops up? Logos. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word. Then why are we trying to fix it? It was here first. Huh? I remember I was 9 years old when I got saved, and one day I just asked my mom, Mom, where did God come from? You know? Everything we know is either fabricated, recreated, or we think we made it, but we made it from materials that God already made, so didn't really ever make anything. And my mom said, well, son, that's where faith comes in. I said, okay. And you know what? I said, God, I don't understand. And God says, trust me. I said, okay. It's basic. God said it. That settles it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. There's a quote running around, well, you know, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. No, it doesn't matter whether you believe it. It's settled anyway.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you know in the beginning there was just perfection? God is that. No sin whatsoever. He didn't sin before He created. He didn't sin when He created. He didn't sin after He created. And He's not sinned yet, and He's not going to. In the beginning was the Word. Praise God for that.
Amen.
The same was in the beginning with God. Check verse 3. All things were made by him. Well, there was this bowl of soup. And in the, you know, this little thing, this atom or whatever that you can't see, it blew up out of the soup and made this and made that. No, it didn't. I still have a question for all those goofy people out there. Who made the soup? Where'd the soup come from? My wife said Campbell's. I don't know. Thought that's a better answer than they give you anyway. Takes more faith to believe that garbage than it does to read this book and believe it. All things were made by him. And without him, it's like God knew somebody was going to question the first sentence, you know. All things were made by him. If that's not clear enough, and without him was not anything made that was made. Oh, okay. So just in case you didn't get it the first time, God made it. If it was made, God made it. Why can't we just say, yes, Lord? Why can we give him our soul? Why can we give him eternal? We believe in eternal security around here, don't we? I guess we do. No, I'm just kidding. But if we believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead, didn't sin, shed his blood to wash away my sin, I can trust him with my soul for eternity to keep me out of hell, but yet I question everything else. That doesn't add up to me. We're just talking basics this morning. If you can trust God with your soul, which, by the way, I've never seen my soul, so maybe it don't exist. No. Seemed like God said, and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living... Huh? I just want to make sure you're awake. Just take God at his word. He said, I made it. You say, yes, sir. You didn't backmouth your dad, at least not in the world I grew up in. Huh? Son, do this. Yes, sir. Son, do this. What for? Never happened. The world we live in now. I don't know. Nothing was made without God, including us. All things were made by him. Well, preacher, did God make sin? Did God create wickedness? Did God create even the wicked for the day of judgment, the Bible said? Let me ask you something. And you can disagree all you want to, just don't tell me. No, I'm just kidding. But if in the beginning was the Word, and it was, and it says all things were made by him, then are all things made by him? Did he not make the tree that caused, that he said, look, there's a tree, don't eat of it? Did somebody else make that tree? Well, preacher, I just won't go that far. I will, because God did. I have to. I have to say all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Otherwise, there would have to be a wickedness that was just as powerful as God or better for it to be hanging around when God was hanging around. And the only thing, and I don't even like to say the thing, but God was always here, nothing else. In the beginning, God. Well, that means God was here first. And don't get too upset about it, because the truth of the matter is, if God did not create that tree, would not we be reading a lie in John 1:1? Amen? I mean, if God didn't create evil, you wouldn't have a choice. See, just think for a minute. God made everything, and he knew that man was going to mess up before man was even made. And the Bible said before the foundations of the world, God had already planned to give his son to take care of a problem that wasn't even here yet. Think on that for a minute. God wanted to fellowship with man, and he did for a little bit. I don't know how many years or whatever was going on in Genesis between the time that God and Adam walked together and the time that they fell and sinned and all of that. I don't know. All I know is that it happened.
But before God even made anything, they already had the plan in place. He knew he wanted to fellowship with man, and then he knew we were going to fall. So then he already, and it wasn't like, you know, they searched through heaven, couldn't find one willing to be baloney. Got to watch some of your gospel songs because they're not gospel. You know, they didn't search through heaven and find a savior, you know. Hey, it's a popular song. It is. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul. They didn't search. He was never lost. They didn't need to do that. There wasn't an angel said, oh, I won't do it. And God said, oh, I guess I'll do it. No, they just stop it. Get back to the basics. If that song bothers you, I don't apologize. It's not doctrinal. You know? We're all concerned about the doctrine in the Bible. We got to check our music, make sure it lines up with the Bible. We don't want to be hypocritical. We want to be back to the basics. We want to, God said it, that's it. Why shouldn't I believe him? Why shouldn't I trust him? He's the one that said it. He's the one, that's it. You know? Now, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man. I just love it when it says there was. Was. Well, yeah, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Do you really realize how much faith you, when you read this stuff, you have to have faith? Did you ever meet John the Baptist? You ever been to Jordan or the Nile River or anywhere like? I haven't. There's some people that have. But I wouldn't be any more convinced if I did go there than I am today. I believe with all my heart there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't know. Well, just think on it for a minute. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That's a capital L. That's pretty cool. That all men through him might just think about him. No, might believe. And that word believe doesn't mean like I believe that I have a car. I do have a car. I believe it unless somebody stole it. But I don't trust my car. See, there's a different type of belief. Oh, I believe in the man upstairs. Then you don't trust. Because he's not just the man upstairs. Probably not even talking about the same God. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Do you know your Creator? I mean, know him. Say, preacher, you keep asking that. You know what I'm convinced? The reason we can't keep people coming in here is because they don't have the truth. Not that the truth isn't being preached from here. Not that this isn't an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, devil-hating Baptist church. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we got a lot of people think they know Jesus, and they don't. And we've got a lot of people that say, well, you know, I just said the prayer because my friend said the prayer. And, you know, I really wasn't sorry for sin. I didn't really repent. You must be born again. You can fuel a car full of gasoline. But if you ain't got a motor under the hood, it does you no good. Like I said, basics. Car not run. Motor missing, Kemosabe. You know, what do you do? Man, I can't get why so-and-so don't ever want to do anything for the church. Well, I don't know. It might be that he's going through a trial. It might be you're supposed to be encouraging him instead of kicking him. I don't know. But if you think that I believe for one minute, preacher, that everybody in here has accepted Christ, I'd love to believe that. But I had a little brother that faked it for a while. Then God convicted him and he got gloriously saved. And most people would have been like, he was already saved. You know who knows if you're saved? You do. He came unto his own received him not. That's a sad verse. Although, in a way, preacher, if they hadn't rejected him,
kind of glad we got grafted in, you know? I mean, God in his foreknowledge knew that he was going to go for all, have you know, for the whole world, John 3:16, right? You know, for God so loved the world. I'm thankful for that. Amen. But God sent his son into the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But, I love conjunctions. That means this is not over yet. It's like the opposite end, you know, you flip the coin. You know, they always say the other end of the coin or the, you know, the continuation of this broadcast. I don't know. But as many as received him, still talking about God's son. Or you could say it's talking about God. I'm okay with that, because we are. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Ooh, I like that. Can I park there for a minute? Do you realize what God did when he said, I give you the power, I give you the choice, I give you the privilege, I give you the authority to pick? There were a lot of things my daddy gave me that was not a choice. You know, I give you the choice to obey or get beat. You know, I mean, I don't know. Let me ponder on that for a minute. That's not what it's talking about. I give you the privilege. I give you the opportunity to make a choice. Did you know it is a privilege to be called the sons of God? Hallelujah. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's that word believe again. And preacher, I've looked it up a few times. And again, we're trust. It's a trust. I believe in God. Not if you don't trust him, you don't. Well, I'd like to get saved. Then do it. What are you waiting for? I don't understand someone who would ponder and mull over and think about, well, you know, it's an interesting thought. It's going to be more than an interesting thought when you die and you're burning in hell for sins that you know you committed. By the way, you know something? I'm tired of the supposed preaching where they say, well, you know, did you steal a candy bar, you poor little kid? Yeah, now you're a sinner. No, you stole the candy bar because you're a sinner. You were born in sin. Well, preacher, I just don't understand why I am the way I am. Because you were born that way, that's why. Because you need the Savior, that's why. Amen. And by the way, it says in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. Ooh, hey, that's good stuff right there. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about his incarnation, right? Hey, it's talking about when God told Mary, hey, behold, you know, you're going to have a baby. What are you, kidding me? By the way, if it hadn't have said virgin, we'd just be like, well, you know, girls are having kids all the time and they're not married. Big deal. Well, it ought to be a big deal, but in this country it's not really. There was a version that said a young woman shall conceive. That's why I don't use that version, because it wasn't just a young woman. Right. She was a virgin. Unfortunately, we'd almost have to have a class to teach women what that means sometimes in this country. I think we ought to have a virginity class in our public school, but anyway, we ought to have a class on how to teach a man to be a man, too. Or maybe we should say a gentleman's class. You know, you say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and you open your car door for the lady, and you close the car door for the lady, and if, by goodness sake, if you ain't going to marry her, leave her alone, but anyway. Okay, now we can go back to preaching. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was not created. But you know, it says begotten. Yeah, I checked. The only way he was begotten was through the Virgin Mary, but he was just put into the flesh of a man. God made Jesus, but not like he created the world. Okay?
He put him in flesh and he laid him in a manger. And by the way, if soul winning was as important to us as it was to God, we'd spend a majority of our time doing it, because that's what Jesus did. See, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, I'd change it if I could, but I'd have to change books. Then it wouldn't be preaching. So let's just, you know, leave it alone. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now, wait a minute, preacher. We know that when Mary went and told Elizabeth that she was going to have Jesus, that John the Baptist was leaped in his womb for joy. So who's older? Well, John was probably older, but the facts of the matter are that's not what John's talking about. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He was saying, "Hey, look at this. He's before me." He's after me, but he's before me. It's the same thing that Jesus told them when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Right? Man. I don't know about you, but the Bible said that we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And then it said, full of grace and truth. I'm stuck there. To have faith is to put one's trust in someone or something, and in this case we're talking about God. He was full of grace and truth. I get to thinking about that. Then I ran over to Titus 2, where it says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." You've got to look up all them words, because they aren't saying, "Be good, be good, be good, be good." Okay? And soberly and righteously and godly, it's not like, well, righteousness is godliness. No, then you can go look them up. I don't have time. I've done that. I have the sheet. No, you can't have it. Go do your homework. But the truth of the matter is, God was so full of grace that he kept going to his own when his own wouldn't receive him. You read it, and he could not do many mighty works there. But he was so full of grace that save he lay his hand on a few sick folk and healed them. He couldn't keep from doing something. He couldn't do what he really wanted to because they wouldn't let him, but he still helped a few over there. And he looked out on a multitude in another chapter. And he had compassion upon them because they were as sheep having no shepherd. Grace. I had to ask myself, I wonder if I could measure my grace that I have for other people. Is there enough grace inside of me that you actually could see it? That when I talk to someone that doesn't even know me, they understand that I'm concerned about them, that I care about them. Because he was full of grace. I don't think I'm full of grace. I'm full of something. Some people think it's baloney, but the truth is, since Jesus Christ now lives inside of me, oh my, then couldn't I not have? Could I not be full? The problem is, I look inside of me and I'm full of me. And there's not room for both. And then he said, full of grace and truth.
Yeah. Amen.
You see, God never told a lie. He spoke the truth. Sometimes it was a little hard. But the Bible said, thy word is truth. God is the word, right? God is truth. Amen? We okay so far? We ain't got lost yet. But I'm stuck on that grace and truth, preacher. Because there's no excuse as to why I cannot be full of those things. Didn't the Bible say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh? I mean, didn't 1 John say, you know, herein we know, the year of God, if ye have love one for another? Yeah, I didn't like writing this sermon anymore. You like listening to it. Because if you think that I'm just trying to pinpoint something in your life, you probably ought to think again. I think the reason that your preacher works so hard and he preaches to you the way he preaches to you, and yeah, I've gotten to listen to him preach. I think God takes something and says, Brother Andrew, this is going to help you. And when I'm through helping you, I want you to take that and try to help some other people with it. Amen? Are you full of grace and truth? I hope so. It's a privilege to be a child of God. And we don't deserve it. And we're supposed to let our light shine. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16? Let your light so shine before men. Well, what's that little word, so, in that manner? In this manner, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I don't have any good works if I'm not living under the control of the Holy Spirit and I'm not full of grace and truth. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us. Isn't that what the Bible tells you?
That's right.
So let us leave today knowing that it is a privilege. And let's go back to the basics. Yes, my Bible is the Word of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Yes, Jesus did die and was buried and rose from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15. And by the way, yes, I'm going to try. As he was a light. Don't think they're not going to reject you. If they're, you know, they rejected me, they will reject you. That's what, you know, that's what he taught his disciples. And, well, just go home and say, you know what? I want to get back to the basics. It sounds simple. You know, read the Bible, pray, walk with God. It's not simple. But it's what we must do. It's what we must do. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, I hope it's been brought with clarity. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, God, that even though you knew when you created man that you would have to redeem them. Because quite honestly, God, if I was you, I don't think I would have done it. Say, well, I create them, then they fall away from me, and then I redeem them, and then they don't want to listen. And Lord, we're the only thing you created that doesn't listen. Pretty much. But Lord, I do thank you that you are who you say you are. I thank you that when I do read your word, it's not as if you wrote a letter to me. This is your letter to me. And Lord, I just thank you. Lord, be with my family and my friends, those who couldn't be here. And Lord, let us leave here walking
as you would have us to walk. Lord, nothing's more important than clear communication with you, a walk with you. And Lord, that we could take and show this dying world how much we truly love you. Lord, I pray this and ask it in Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.